Greetings, this is Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach, and this episode is brought to you by To Empower You, a podcast dedicated to helping young adults and young couples achieve their goals and dreams from a biblical context. Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Empower You. I am your host, Thomas A. DeLoach, and it is my joy to have you on this podcast today. And I want to take a moment and give a quick shout out to all of my first-time listeners. It is a privilege to have you as one of my listeners today. And on today's show, I want to talk about use what you got. And I want to take my text from Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and as always, I want you to take some copious notes if you can. The word of the Lord reads like this: For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want to read this latter clause again. Accordingly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, every born-again bought believer has a measure of faith or size. We could even say an amount, a degree of something. And what you do with your measure determines the quality of life you will live. I want to say that to you again. And what you do with your measure determines the quality of life that you will live. Here's one thing for sure, even about my own life, is that in my foundational growing in the things of God, I did not really understand how to operate in biblical principles. And it cost me early in my life, especially in my 20s. I didn't fully understand how to take the word of God with my faith and believe God for the things that I wanted and for the things in the word of God that he had for me. And I would dare say that you have many people in the body of Christ, they feel the same way. They can read the word of God, somewhat comprehend what they're reading, but the reality is that they don't know how to take that word and use the measure of faith that they have to pull that promise out of the scripture from the unseen world into the seen world. So I don't want you to poo-poo this notion that, you know, everybody in the body of Christ is in the same place. We know fundamentally that's not the case, but you have a lot of people who have been saved for many years, and they will tell you, I've been a Christian for 20 years and for 25 years, and they don't even know how to apply their faith. And I want you to know that if you can get one thing out of this episode, is to understand that God loves us so much. He's an equal opportunity employer. That means that when he dropped his spirit inside of you, he has given all of us the same amount. Now you can grow your amount, or the size of your faith can diminish, but it's up to you. And this is why you've got to use what you have if you're going to grow in your faith, if you're going to please the word of God, if you're going to please the Lord, if you're going to do what is necessary to get you from where you are to where you believe you need to go. I believe the scripture says without faith, it is impossible. I want you to hear that. It's impossible to please God because you just can't do it without faith. But I want to encourage you that you can get there. So yes, your life is in the hands of God, but it is also in your faith that you release for the things that God has for you. Here's something that you might want to write down or take a mental note of. You must be a willing participant if you want God's best. I want to say that to you again. You must be a willing participant. And I want you to underscore willing, because people say that they want things to really change in their life. But look at their willingness. Many people say that they're willing, but when the rubber meets the road and they've got to put in the work, they are unwilling. And the place that you are unwilling is where your faith will really trip you up. You've got to match what you want with your faith. Your faith cannot wane in any way. It's got to get stronger and stronger every day. It's a muscle. If you're not working, your faith is getting flabby. It's useless. It's good for nothing. And because again, if we're going to please the Lord, this is the one dynamic that we need above all things, because we just cannot get the thing that we're desiring or looking for. Now, the Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 2, it says that all men have not faith. Now, they've got natural faith based on their senses, because their senses have been convinced or trained or even programmed. For example, this chair can hold them up. That's not faith. They're just looking at a natural chair, and based on how the chair looks, if it's sturdy, if they believe it's built of good quality, they'll sit in it. But that is not how faith works, because faith is not any kind of dynamic that you can see with your eyes. Faith is something that you believe in your heart. It's a heart dynamic. So the heart has got to be changed and tuned up to a high level to be able to take the scripture and trust God with no evidence, with no ocular proof, that knowing that God, if he said it, yeah, that promise is for you, and you can lay hold of it and see some wonderful things happen in your life. But the faith that I'm talking about, this God kind of faith, comes from the Word of God. Now, faith is, and I'm going to talk about that here in a quick moment, but I also want you to write this down too, or take a mental note. Sense knowledge makes no faith, and faith knowledge makes no sense. I'm going to say it to you again. Sense knowledge makes no faith, and faith knowledge makes no sense. So if you are looking from the outer periphery, you know, your senses, what you can taste and smell and touch and all of those dynamics of the sense realm, that doesn't make faith. And faith in and of itself, or faith knowledge, makes no sense. So what God reveals to you from your spirit is not going to make any sense to what you see on the outside. And again, this is where people get frustrated. They don't know how to tap into spiritual things. And many people in the body of Christ, they don't know. They've never learned how to tap into spiritual things. I would say to you, after being saved now for over 30 years, I can finally come to the conclusion that I have learned through hard work and study and discipline how to channel my spirit so that spiritual things mean more to me than natural things. It was not that way when I first started in the things of God. I didn't understand. But as I begin to grow and pray and fast and tune up my spirit, I can see the Word of God working for me. I can take a text and dissect it, and I can hear the Word of God as I'm reading it out loud sometimes. And I can get a vision of what God is really saying to me and dial into that thing like I already have it. Because from a spiritual standpoint, I do have it, even though it hasn't manifested in the natural, even if it hasn't come to pass yet. I know by faith I've received it. And that's the thing about God. You got to know that you have it before you have it. That's how you get your healing. That's how you get your financial breakthrough. And again, this is frustrating to the flesh, because to be carnally minded will never help you. You've got to be spiritually minded. So you've got to do your work. The day that you got saved, your salvation was free in terms of you receiving it by faith. But now you've got to put in the work to see that salvation really be a blessing to you, to see the promises, the things that God has said belongs to you. He intends on doing his part. But as I said to you earlier in this show, you have got to be a willing participant if you want to see everything, and I mean everything, that God has promised you. Don't die. Live. Don't say life is difficult and hard. Make some adjustments in your mentality. But more importantly, make some adjustments in your faith, because there's nothing worse than being a frustrated Christian, knowing that that carrot is right there for you, but you can't get to it. Knowing that your healing, your deliverance, the promises, the things that God said belongs to you, you can never get to it. And this is why people walk away from God. And they say the word of God doesn't work. And I always say, well, how long did you work it? And they'll say a week or two. And I'm saying, baby, you can't get it in a week or two. You don't lose 50 pounds in a week. You don't lose 10 pounds, amen to God, in a week's time. It takes time and attention. It takes a focus and saying to yourself, this has happened because it has happened in my spirit. All right. Now, in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1, you know this scripture. It says, now faith is. I want you to see this working for you. Not it was or it will be. Now faith is. So faith is right now. So anything that you want from God, you got to start remembering and focusing on. This is a right now thing. Wherever you are, whatever you stand in need of, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me give this to you in the Amplified Version, Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. So faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And so if I could give the summation of this Amplified Version in Hebrews 11 and 1, I would say to you, faith perceiving as a real fact what has not been revealed to the senses. So my faith in God and the things that I've been believing God for just has not been revealed to my senses. And again, this is where the disconnect is, because people say seeing is believing, but not when it comes to God. Seeing in the natural is not believing. I believe when I haven't seen anything, when I haven't heard anything, when the news is still the same thing as it was for the last 2 months. I know in my spirit, I know my faith will not let me down. I know that when I read the word and believe what he said, no doubt, no ambiguity, no confusion, no conjecture. I'm talking about faith confirming in my spirit that this is so. To the point where if somebody says you'll never get the job, but the Lord has already revealed it to my spirit that I got it, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It just matters what I say. It just matters what the word of God says. So we've got to get everybody out of our faith walk. We got to get opinions of man. We got to get the media, the news, family members. It don't matter. Husbands, wife, kids, auntie, it don't matter. Get them out of your personal walk with God. Tune them out and tune into the word of God and say to yourself, if this is what God says, I'm going to believe it. Even though everything in the natural has not come to pass for me, even if they keep telling me no, I keep going to the bank, they tell me no, but God is saying this house belongs to you. Maybe I need to get back with God and see how he's going to finance the home, because you do know God can finance your house. God can send somebody who doesn't work at the bank to finance your home. As a matter of fact, God can send somebody and buy the home for you. We've got to begin to open up our mind when it comes to the things of God. God doesn't have to use traditional means to bless you. And I think, again, that's where the disconnect comes from. We just somehow believe that God has got to use natural things to get to us what he wants to get to us. But faith is supernatural. And so God does not have to use the way that he's blessing your coworkers the same way he's going to bless you or a family member or somebody you go to church with. God's got a million ways to bless you. So I want you to open up your heart, open up your mind. If we're dealing with an expansive God, if he told Peter to go fishing and a coin was in the fish's mouth, then you already know we're dealing with a dynamic man. We dealing with a dynamic God man in Jesus when the Lord spoke to him and told him that. So let's not confuse things, but let's get on our square and say, I'm going to trust God, because the reality is God is teaching you something. He's teaching you how to be patient. And that's difficult for all of us because I can be very impatient, especially if I've waited a long time for something. Some people just have that gift of patience. The Lord has had to work that thing in me. But I want you to know you got to use what you have. Stop asking God for more and use what you have. And when you do, I promise you, it will get stronger. It's going to develop. And you're going to see yourself moving in things a lot quicker once we get all this junk out of our faith and use it not only to be a blessing to us ourselves, but be a blessing to others that's around us. So if you're going to operate in faith, you must leave your senses behind, the sense realm. You got to leave it behind. And what I just said to you is more than a notion, because this is where, again, the average person stops. But I pray that I'm talking to above average people. I believe I'm talking to some people today that are excellent and people that want to do what God has promised them. They're just not here to be here, but they're here to make a difference and a change in someone's life, in their family's lives, and people that they come into contact with. And if that's you, I want you to know God stands ready to deliver what he has promised to you, if only you can believe. All right. So we have to understand this whole dynamic about faith. We got to use what we have. Another thing I want to tell you is you're going to have to believe for something again that you have no natural proof for, to the point that you're willing to give it all for what you believe. Are you willing to give it all, your best shot, for the things that God has promised you? Again, we say we want it, but are you willing to give it all? You got to empty the tank in faith for this thing that God has promised you. He never said it was going to be easy. He said that you were going to have some tribulation, some trouble in your life. So when trouble comes, don't let your faith in God wane. Don't say God doesn't work, the word doesn't work, God doesn't love me. You know the lies that we tell ourselves. But it's time for you to speak to yourself and tell yourself, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this rough patch. I'm going to learn. I'm going to do some things differently. But I'm not going to charge God falsely. When it didn't come to pass, I want you to know it's never God's fault. I'm going to say that to you again, because we blame God for a lot of things. But I want to tell you, it is not God's fault when things don't come to pass. You got to take responsibility and ownership for why it didn't happen. Did you really believe God? Did you really believe the word? Did you really apply the word of God? Or did you just sit still and think that God was just going to deliver it right to your doorstep, hit the doorbell, and then you come to the door and get your package? No, sir. No, ma'am. You got to work your faith. Work it. And I promise you, when you work your faith, you're going to see something that the average Christian will never see in their life. And that's really sad, because God wants you to see it. He wants you to have it. But you got to learn some things about God. We're learning his ways. We're learning some things about us that we don't know, that we don't understand. But I promise you, it will be worth it if you can stay in the race. Now, misplaced faith is trying to have faith in something other than God. I'll say it to you again. Misplaced faith is trying to have faith in something other than God. You have a lot of people, their faith is misplaced. And so they've got to put it in the right place to see the right thing. Faith demands that God be your source and your only source. So I want you to test your faith today. If you're going to use what you got, faith demands, God demands that he be your only source. Now, that's going to be hard for many to understand, because they have their A plan, their B plan, and their C plan. But I want you to know God has got to be your only plan. So you need to delete and get all these other plans out of your mind and out of your heart. And I think this is another reason why people never come into this pressed down, shaken together, running over blessing in the scripture that God says can be theirs, that they are looking to other sources. But God is your only source. As a matter of fact, say that to yourself. God, you are my only source. You got to say that to yourself every day, because the actions speak louder than words. We can say God is our only source until things don't happen in the time frame that we want them to. And then we start conjuring other ways to try to get what God promised us. But I want you to know that God is your only source. And he will supply to you. Now, don't get sources mixed up with resources. God is the source, but the resource that he uses is not the source. It's just something he will bring to you or send somebody to bless you. They are resources, but they're not a source. God is the source of your supply. So let's not get that confused, all right? Faith has got to be, God has got to be your only option. Now, because God is invisible, the Bible says that God is a spirit. So when we're dealing with God, we're not dealing with anything of flesh and bone and blood. We're dealing with a spiritual being, a spiritual entity. And this is why you've got to demand yourself every day to be spiritual. You are a spiritual person. You're just not in the flesh only, but you are a spiritual individual. And since we're talking about faith and using what we have, I think we need to also talk about this fear dynamic, because fear is one of the number one reasons why we don't lay hold of the promises of God. Because fear is a spirit, like poverty is a spirit, like depression is a spirit. And these spirits, as it were, come in to cause our faith to not work for us like we want it to. So faith and fear, they're spirits. And so when you're dealing with fear or you have fear, you can't deal with it naturally. So look at spirits like attitudes. So people that are fearful, they have an attitude of fear. Their disposition is fear. The way that they move on a day-to-day basis is fear. Fear of the unknown, or fear of the things that they know, or fear of the past, which creeps into our present and messes up your future. But we got to realize and understand that my faith that I am using as I'm releasing my faith in God, it's going to deal with my fear. You'll note that any time that God came to people, he would say, fear not. You can read that throughout the scriptures. Fear not. I'm coming to you. Fear not. This is what I want to do for you. Fear not. Why? Because God understands that I can't even do anything in your life if you are afraid. And there are millions upon millions of believers and non-believers in and of itself that are operating in fear. So you have got to deal with the fear inside of you. You got to deal with why you can't get over the hump, why you are afraid of success or afraid. You got people who are afraid to have money because they think when they get money, somebody going to be after them. You cannot be afraid of what God says is yours. What you need is wisdom to know how to handle these things. And this is what I want to tell you today. When you begin to use what you got, the first place you got to use it is to get all that fear out of you, because you cannot go higher than your fear. But faith is there. You got to put a demand on the faith of God that is inside of you to go to the next level, because you will either have faith or fear. And most people operate in fear because it's commonplace. They're accustomed to it. They were born in it. Their families taught them how to operate in fear, not faith, not trusting God, but operating in faith. And you've got to learn the operation. Now, let me give you this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. You might want to read this with me if you can, but write it down and read it later if you're unable to do it right now. But in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verse 1, it says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Notice what the scripture says. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. So that number seven is a number of completion. So we have a perfect strength here of nations coming together to rout you out. And these names that I'm giving have spirits attached to it. They mean something. So I don't want you to look at this as a person or a people group, but these are spirits that will come in at different points and seasons in your life to stop you from getting what God promised you. And it's amazing how these spirits show up. Many of us are fighting past things, fighting things in our DNA, fighting things that mama went through and daddy went through, things that are in our bloodline that every time we try to get over a hurdle or every time we try to maximize and go to the next level, these demonic spirits are trying to hold us down. But the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So I want you to know you got a dynamic God on the inside of you that can really push these spirits back, but you are going to have to learn how to fight. And that's what I want to tell you too. You got to learn this. You got to fight for the promises of God. They're just not going to be delivered to you, like I said earlier. You got to fight for this every day. On Monday, it's going to be a fight. On Tuesday, Wednesday, all throughout the week, it's going to be a fight. But you have to fight the good fight of faith. So if you're going to get in a fight, get in a faith fight. Let the devil know, I know you're trying to take me out. I know you're trying to get in my mind and tell me I'm not going to get healed and delivered. I know you're trying to tell me my financial situation is never going to change. My son, my daughter, never going to give their life to Christ. I'm going to be living in this same house. I'm living in the same house my mama was living in, my grandmother was living in. But God says, I got land for you. I got property for you that I want to move you to. I want you to be the first in your family to get a debt-free home or a home in general. I want you to be the first person in your family to open up generational wealth for you and your children and grandchildren. God says, I want to use you. Out of all the people in the world, what I love about God, he says, I love you. I got my eye on you. We're talking about an intelligent God here. We're talking about a God who created everything out of nothing by the power of his word. Surely he can come in your situation and change your dynamic now, but you've got to use what you got now. So while we're waiting on God, he is saying, I am waiting on you. So these spirits, you've got to deal with them, and you can't deal with it in the natural. You got to deal with it in the spirit, and your spirit is a powerful entity. So get this in your heart, get this in your mind, get this in every fiber of your being, that you are going to come out because you're going to use what you got. Now, these spirits didn't come when the person got frightened, especially when we talk about these spirits that I was saying. Anytime somebody gets frightened, these spirits just didn't come when the person got afraid or scared. When the spirit manifested is when it happens. So the spirit was there all the time waiting for the opportunity. Did you get that? So when you're getting ready to buy a new house, everything is going good, you found it, blah, 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 blah. And now you got to go to the bank and get financed. Now you get afraid, you know, my credit score, my this, my that, all of these things now are coming out. See, the enemy waits for an opportunity to get you. He waits for an opportunity to cause you to run and go in the other direction. But you got to realize God is just not trying to get you to get out of the starting blocks. He's going to be there when you start. He's going to be there in the middle when things are crazy. And he said, I'm going to be there in the end when you go across the finish line. But we got to look at our life a little more detailed and see when certain spirits in certain seasons start coming to manifest in our life. It tells us it's something we haven't dealt with. It's something we're not looking at. Because all the enemy wants to do is just to take you on this long ride and wear you out. Every opportunity he gets, he wakes up to get you again and again and again. But I want you to be intelligent in your faith and be watchful in sobriety and say, the way you got me last month, you're not going to do it this month. I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I know some things that I didn't know before. We got to operate more intelligently at a higher frequency if we're going to deal with God. And lastly, another thing that I want to tell you is that the promised land that God has promised to you and your family, God says, I'm not going to turn back on that. Doesn't matter how long it's taken. It's just taking you a long time to learn some principles and how to operate in it. But God says, I'm not going to turn back. So the enemy will say to you, you're going to fail. They're going to laugh at you. Don't try this. Your last family member had tried to open up a business. It failed. But you got to say, that was them. This is not me. Even if we come out of families, and when families fail, we got this in our mind that we'll fail too. But there's a reason why failure happens. Here's my definition of failure. Failure for me is an opportunity to do something again smarter. That's what it is. Failure is just an opportunity for me to do something again smarter. It's something that I missed. It's something that I didn't pay attention to. It's something that I didn't know. So don't look at failure as final. Look at failure as an opportunity to begin again smarter. So when these things happen in your life, when fear keeps cropping up in your life, don't move. Stand right there. Calm down. Take a couple of deep breaths and say, okay, God, it's something that I'm missing. All right? Because I've got to apply my faith. I can't just have it. I got to use it. I got to make some application of this. It's like painting a house. You just can't open up the paint can and then start painting. You got to stir it. Get that thing thick and lathery. Get it right. Get all the lumps out. You got to make preparation to paint a house, just like you got to do other things in life. So when we're going to apply our faith for the things that God is saying belongs to us, we've got to be in preparation so we can apply it wisely, skillfully, because that is the thing that's going to knock the enemy out. That's going to tell the enemy, this person is different. I'm trying to get them with the same stuff. They have grown up. Now, that doesn't mean the enemy won't try you, but he's going to look foolish trying you because you now are walking in a dimension with God that you haven't done before. God has given you faith, my brother and sister, and it's up to you to develop your faith. God won't develop your faith for you. Again, you must put in the work. So number one, faith does the work, and faith is the servant of the believer. I want to encourage you today to use what you got. You got something inside of you. It's just not the God in you, yes, but it's the faith of God inside of you. And as I said in my opening salvo, that faith is a degree, it's an amount. And if you're going to have a quality of life, if you're going to live in the overflow of God, you must use your faith. And the more faith you use, every time you read the word, there's more faith going in. And this is why you got to read that word. You got to study it because you need faith going in you all the time. Maybe you have maxed out of your faith because you have not been reading your word to get more seeding of faith inside of you, because the word of God is a seed. So every time we read the word and we apply it and we put it in our spirit, that's more seed for another challenge. But I can meet every challenge. I can meet every situation. I can meet every demand that life will throw at me because I'm making sure that I've got the seed of the word of God inside of me. I want to encourage you today to use what you have, and it will grow. When you use it, it'll multiply. When you use it, it'll bless you. When you use it, you will be encouraged. When you use it, you will see a change in your life. I want you to do it today. Dry your eyes. Things are going to get better for you. I know they will. And they're going to get better because you're going to take your own responsibility that God has told you to do. And when you do it, you're going to see the heavens open up for you right here in the earth realm. That's all I have for you today. I pray that you were blessed in some way. If you were blessed, send me an email at info@thomasadeloach.com. You go to my website at www.thomasadeloach.com. I'm praying for you. I want you to have a great day, a great week. Remember, use what you have because it will grow and bless you immensely. Take care. Thank you for listening to my show, To Empower You. If you were blessed, inspired, and encouraged, please send me a praise report, prayer requests, or show ideas to info@thomasadeloach.com. And follow me on Instagram @thomasadeloach and Facebook at Dr. Thomas A. DeLoach. And remember, you can go to my website anytime at www.thomasadeloach.com. Until next time, be empowered.